Good morning. Good to see everyone out. I'd like to welcome everyone to New Harmony Baptist Church. Nice fall day outside. Excited to be in the house of the Lord and glad to see you here with us. By the way, a prayer request. I know I had several mention Ricky Pritchard this morning, so continue to remember him. Our cancer ministry, the lady that Miss Drusilla, lady comes to Jack's a lot. She got some good news. She's got to have some surgery, but she's the type of cancer she's got is not real aggressive. So doctor told her, if you have to have it, she's got the best kind. So y'all continue to remember her, as her surgery will be the 15th of November. So begin praying for her. Do you have any more prayer requests that I'm forgetting or? Remember that. Can you remember Maldi and those that the other ones and my mother and many others may have sickness in our congregation and families? And 2019 is going to be over in a little bit, but it has been a tough year for sickness in the church and in our families. And so just continue to pray for all of these. And I ask you to continue to pray for our church in the upcoming year. It's an exciting time of the year coming up. Our Thanksgiving festivities will be happening pretty soon. And then, of course, our Christmas play, they'll begin working on it at night, starting tonight. They're working on Wednesday nights also. So starting tonight, the youth will begin working on it at 5. So if you're part of it, come out. And our cancer ministry is meeting from 3 until 5, or that two-hour space. Sometimes we don't take up all the time, but then while the kids is doing their play practice, we will have Bible study or something in the classroom because you've got to be here waiting on them anyway. So we will fill that time. Any other prayer requests or any other thing before we pray? Our pumpkin. All these names was written on this pumpkin at our fall festival. We don't know what each prayer is, but God does. So we again continue praying for those names on our prayer pumpkin and pray that God's will is done in each situation. Any more? Somebody has put something on the pulpit. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for this day you've given us. Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us. God, we thank you for the country we live in, for the state we live in, and Lord, the people that you have placed around us. Lord, we pray for our church this morning. God, we pray that you would begin healing our families and, Lord, those that are sick among us, that you would touch them in a mighty way. And, Lord, what I just ask that you be in this worship service and that, God, that your spirit would be among us mightily. And that, Lord, everything that's said and done here would be to honor and glorify the name of Jesus. And, Lord, those that are sick, Brother Ricky, God, we ask you to touch his body. The family that's lost the loved ones, God, we ask you to touch them. God, be with my mother and Maldi and all of them that's suffering from cancer and different things. These blessings we'll ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the sin of the world, his blood breaks the chain. before the King of Kings. Our God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. Luke is God, the Lord Almighty. Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. For the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? 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 Oh, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Oh, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord?
First time I called you Lord.
I was a homeless fool. Now I'm hopeless.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior.
Appreciate that singing this morning. And to make sure somebody didn't put the witch back behind the pulpit again. I deserved that, probably. I did set Pat up for it. Again, I appreciate you being here this morning. The message the Lord's laid on my heart is one that I began reading this the other night and began thinking on these scriptures and began thinking about, you know, there's a lot of things I can't understand how made. Most of the things I can't understand how they're made. The iPhones, the cell phones that'll do all this fancy stuff, computer stuff, I can't grasp it. I'm not that smart. I can't understand it. A lot of conveniences that people have made that the automobiles and airplanes, different things. I'm glad it wasn't upon me to make them, but I can't understand them. I can't figure them out. But one thing that baffles me more than this is how that a dirty, rotten soul can be made right with God. And this was done by Holy God. And this is today, the title of the scripture, title of the sermon is going to be How God Makes Us New. And this, I can't explain this in a lot of ways. We know what the Word of God teaches, but we're going to go through this. And this morning, if you're here, I encourage you to search your heart. I never understand what sermons are about, and I try to preach what the Lord's laid on my heart, but this morning I know how important it is to make sure that you're a new being, to make sure that God has saved you, and if that Spirit of God is calling you, then you must answer. And this morning I'm going to show you, I hope through the Word of God, how great an opportunity it is and how wonderful it is that God made you. Now the human beings, how God made humans, that baffles me also, how He just formed that thing from His hands and all the there's nothing in the world that's even close to the human brain. Some of y'all's, some of you, there's some things about as close, but the human brain can do magnificent things. I preached one time, if you remember, about the strongest supercomputer, or fastest supercomputer, however you want to say it, in the world that's in China, can only map about 1-point-something seconds of the human brain. And so God truly made us wonderful, but the most wonderful being that He's ever created is a born-again child of God. The born-again child of God. If you got your scriptures open this morning, in Luke chapter number 24, I know when you first saw Luke, you think about Christmas coming up, but Luke chapter 24, begin reading verse 40 through verse 49. I want you to think about this as I read it, how this is just a plan of salvation that Jesus has given them as they see Him here. It says, "And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, he wondered, He said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and He took it and did eat before them. And He said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And He said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ," or that word means to, it was necessity of Christ, "to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Father, we thank You this morning for this word. God, I ask You to open it to hearts and minds this morning. And God, I pray if there's one here that You're drawing to Yourself, that God, You will let them see how the necessity of coming to You and being made new, and that God, You took the initiative to make lost people new again. And God, we thank You for it. God, we praise You for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. If you'll notice there in that verse number 45, He tells us the beginning of a way that a man must start to come to be made new. In that verse 45, listen to what He says. He says, "Then open He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." My friend, today, before you can be saved, God must open your understanding. He must illuminate your mind to realize something, that number one, He is a holy God, and number two, you're a lost sinner. And without Him, there is absolutely no hope of being made right back with that holy God. Absolutely none. You can do, I know you hear preachers preach this all the time, but how true it is that there's not a single work that man can do that can reconcile him back to God. There's not enough of money you can give, not enough people you can feed, not enough Thanksgiving meals to cook, not enough Christmas gifts to buy. There's not enough anything you can do to reconcile you back with this God. And you don't even know you're away from Him until He opens your mind up. And you must be able to understand the Scriptures. How many people have you ever heard say, you talk to them about the Bible, and they say, "Well, I just can't understand that thing. I just can't understand it." Listen, even the King James Bible was written on a fifth grade level. The interpret was written on, I think it's a fifth grade level. And listen, the reason that you can't understand this Word of God is He has not opened your understanding. He has not touched your understanding, and until that happens, you cannot understand it. It's just very that simple. It says it plainly. It says, "Then He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures." Now listen, they didn't have these Scriptures we have right here. What they had was the old canon of Scripture. They had the old part of that Moses had written. That's what they had, and He tells them here in that Scripture above that. He says, "Moses told of Me." The whole Scriptures tell of Jesus, and until we begin understanding that and understanding what the Scriptures are saying, we cannot be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, listen to this. It says, "So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." You must hear the Word of God preached. You must hear it in some manner. You must hear it before that understanding becomes open and you realize that you must come to faith in Christ. He opens our understanding. The carnal man cannot understand or interpret the Word of God, unless God opens their understanding. I want you to get that this morning. That if your knowledge has been opened and you understand the Word of God, you understand what the Scriptures are teaching about how a soul is lost. You're even born that way, the Bible teaches us. You can take the sweetest little baby there's ever been, and he's so sweet and innocent, but guess what? That's a sinner. And very soon you'll begin seeing the traits of it. And listen, and when they come to the age of accountability, that soul must be saved to be reconciled with God. And for that to happen, God must open their understanding. I worry today about so many people who get in a big group and they say, if you want to go to heaven, raise your hand. Listen, every single person would raise their hand. It makes common sense. I've heard of people asking little children, if you want to be saved, come get a sucker. And that lets us know that you made a decision for Christ. Listen, my friend, until your understanding of what's happened has been revealed to you, you cannot be made right with God. You cannot be made new. It's important that we understand this morning. The words is the only way anybody ever comes to God. Anybody. There's no other way. Listen, the Word of you said, well, what happens in those places that nobody ever hears the Word of God? They haven't heard it. They must hear it taught. They must hear it preached. They hear it witnessed from people. The Word of God is given out. They may not have a copy that they can physically read, but they must hear how they are a sinner. They must hear that Christ died for them. They must hear that there's hope through Jesus Christ. They must hear this Word of God. Who falls in this? Who needs to be made new? Every single person. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I just tripped them up there. I had this one in my mind. That all sin and come short of the glory of God. Every single person in here has sinned and fell short of what God has called you to be. He made you a perfect being. The fall happened in the garden. You didn't even get a say in this thing. You was born from fallen man. And listen, until you come to that understanding and understand that you a sinner, you cannot be saved. The reason today that people's not being saved in their churches is nobody's being lost. Nobody understands they're lost. They don't understand. We're living at a time where people is teaching. There's big pastors and different things, and I'm not getting on that this morning. But they'll come and they'll say that everything's just fine and dandy, and all this is roses in the life, and this God we serve, He is a loving God, and He is a loving God. The Bible says not willing any should perish. But listen, this God also is a perfect, holy, vengeful God, and He must be righteous, and He will be righteous. And sinners cannot stand before Him. So thank God that He reveals Himself by the Word. Reveals Himself. You remember when you began hearing those Bible stories in Bible school, and you began, the Spirit of God began working on that heart. And then you get a little bit older and you begin to understand what this thing is saying. And God begins opening in these scriptures. I remember it. I went to Bible school not much. I told you I wasn't raised in church. I got in there at an older age, I guess you would say, about 20. Well, I got saved at 21. But I can remember when I began, the Spirit of God began working on me. And I began letting me understand that I needed a Savior. That I needed someone who could save me. Because listen, I couldn't do it by myself. I must have had Him. The revealing Himself, how great it is. Next, in verse 46, we see the redeeming. The redeeming, if you look up that word, it means to buy back or regain possession of. God desired to buy you back. You go through the scripture, I think it's in Hosea, where God has Hosea to go buy his wife again. After she's run around on him, he goes by her. He tells him, he said, go buy her again. Go back and take her back. And this is exactly what God has done with you. Listen, I mentioned the fall in the garden that you didn't have a part of, but you as being a fallen man, God desires to have to regain a possession of you. And because of this, He made a way that you can be redeemed. And the redemption you have only comes from the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. And you're redeemed through that life, that sacrifice, that resurrection, you are redeemed through that. You are purchased again. And listen, I mentioned all those fancy things that are built that I can't understand. And some of those airplanes probably cost billions of dollars. But nothing is more valuable than a saved soul. Why? Because the most valuable thing in the world that's ever been in the world, that's ever been in a creation, that's ever been anywhere in supernatural being or anything, was given for that redeemed soul. And that is the blood of Christ. How precious it is. It tells us about this price in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18-19. It says, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold from vain conversation, received from the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot and blemish. Now listen, gold, you can find gold of all kinds. There's people that, I didn't know this week, there's some gold coins that people's got that's worth a bunch of money. And I thought, man, how did y'all afford coins like that? A man showed me one coin about this big that was worth $1,800. I thought, my goodness, and he also showed me a $500 bill. I'd never seen one of them. But again, thinking about all the money that's in the world and all these things and the things that people has hoarded up. But listen, one fire could come and completely destroy all of that money. It could destroy everything because it's corruptible. The one thing that cannot and never will be done away with is the blood of Jesus Christ. It is perfect. It says it's precious, without spot, without blemish. Perfect. The most expensive purchase made in history was the purchase of your soul. The purchase that Jesus died and he bought you with that thing. The scriptures even tell us that we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Listen, if I sell you a car, you don't have the right to come back and get it and use it anytime you want to. It belongs to me. Because God has bought me, he has purchased me, the scriptures teach I belong to him. And I'm to act like I belong to him. I'm to walk like I belong to him. And I'm to live like I belong to him. The redeeming that was done for us. We must understand. I mentioned that understanding that must be opened up. The redeeming of our soul, we must begin to understand that Jesus took our place for that death. For that death, the Bible teaches, and I'm going to get there in a minute, that the wages of sin is death. The only thing that can pay for sin is death. The moment Adam and Eve saved, they had to be a sacrifice killed to cover their nakedness. And the cost of that sin they had was some animal's life. It had to die, maybe more than one, to provide that skin for those clothes. And beginning from that point, we see this thing set up that without the shedding of blood, there is no redeeming. They had to be redeemed. And Jesus took your place. He took your place. The place you deserve to be. All those pictures we saw of Christ on the cross, you know what? You deserve to be there. You say, well, wait a minute. I've never done any of this. Well, honey, you've done a lot more than Jesus has done. He never committed one crime. He never committed even one sin. He never done anything, and he hung on a cross for me and you, and I belong there. But he took my place. He redeemed it. He redeemed me. He redeemed you. If you're saved this morning, he bought you with that great price. We see the revealing of himself. We see the redeeming. This next one is our repentance. Remember, we're talking about a brand new person being made. A brand new creation. A right heart with God being made is what we're talking about this morning. Our repentance in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. It says the Lord is not slow to turn his promise, as some men count Simon is suffering to us. Word, not any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That all should come to repentance. That means if you're to be saved, you must come to repentance. Again, we're living at a place where it's taught that as long as you come inside a church door every now and then, or as long as you read your Bible every now and then surely you must be right with God. According to that verse, you must repent. And that word repent means turn from your sin. It means go an opposite direction if you study the Greek and Hebrew. And for you to be saved today, according to this scripture, you must repent. You must repent. And listen, and when you repent from something, you don't. I know that as Christians even, we can go back towards sin. But when we repent of something, we turn around and we walk away from it. We go away from it and we strive to stay from it. Repentance. You remember what it said in this verse of what he told them? He said in that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. How do we repent? How in the world does a person repent? Number one, that understanding is opened up, and then you understand that you have been redeemed, the price has been paid, and then the repentance should come. You should come to a godly sorrow for your sin. If you've never been in a place that you was broken because of the sin that you have committed against a holy God, then maybe you need to check up. Maybe you need to make some accounts of your life. Because according to this word of God, that the repentance and remission must be preached. And if repentance wasn't important, it should not have to be preached. But repentance has to be the part of the salvation experience. It has to be. Now listen, when the Spirit of God comes upon us and lets us know of all these things and opens our understandings, and we hear the Word of God preached and taught, then repentance comes from our part. We have to bow down, we have to come before God, and we have to cry out and beg Him to save us and to forgive us. I've read stories of great men who was against God. Number one was Paul. Paul thought he was for God, but he was against Him. He was the most Jewish, probably the smartest Jewish lawyer or in law that there was. But listen, he thought Christianity was of the devil. He thought it was bad. And listen, God changed his heart on that road to Damascus. And we see a complete turnaround in this man. We see a repenting that he done. And he went towards God. I could tell you about Stephanie's granddad. Before salvation, people talks about how he was an alcoholic. How he was this and that. And then once he was saved, he made a complete turnaround. He repented and he went from that sin. And I can tell you about all these. But listen, the most important part that me and you must know is, was there a time when I repented and I went from that sin? It don't matter how many other people repented. You see, we'll look at that murderer or we'll look at that child molester and we'll say, boy, he needs to repent and go from that sin. And the Bible teaches that any lost soul is just as dirty as they are and they stand in need of repentance. We must repent of that sin. I think churches on this are missing the mark for the sake of crowds. Missing the mark for the sake of crowds and income of the pastor. And listen, I am one. I know how this works. Also, building that head up, building that ego up. Oh, if I preach against that, they must repent and stay from sin, and I'm not going to have many people in the pews. Well, listen, according to the Word of God also, the man of God who stands and proclaims the Word of God is accountable for what he preaches and what he teaches. And my friend, I'm not going to be held guilty for not preaching the Word of God. I might be held guilty for not living it, but I'm not going to be held guilty for not preaching the Word of God, because it's simple and it's plain and it's easy that men must repent and they must turn from sin and they must go away from sin. And I'll probably never have a stadium full of people, and it don't really matter this morning. What does matter is that I do according to what God has me to do. Amen. This is the greatest calling that a man can ever have, is teaching and preaching the Word of God. It's more important than the greatest job you can think of. It's more important than a president of the United States. And listen, a lot of times we begin thinking, oh me, I ain't got very many in my church. I ain't got many of this. Listen, I get the opportunity to stand and proclaim something that can completely change a world. Most people don't get to do that. But thank God each one of us also is called to be a preacher and be a minister. There must be repentance. A lot of times we base the success on the number of confessions. I got social media also. I see on there that they'll group a meet and they'll say, we had so and so many confessions. That's great. But listen, what shows, what's the difference, what's a changed life is repentance. Is repentance. I can confess something all day long. I can confess that I believe so-and-so is the best football team, or so-and-so is the best car, or best this and that. I can confess it, but listen, it don't make it true. What makes our salvation experience true is when we repent and turn away from that sin. And I got to move on. There must be repentance. The person, once he sees, through Christ revealing himself through the Word, he must repent. If you'll study your scriptures, anytime Jesus told somebody they was forgiven of sin, you know what he said? Go and sin no more. He knew that person was still living a fleshly body. They were still going to have sinful desires. What he means, I believe, is to strive to the best of your ability. And he gives us something to help with that, and we'll get there in a minute. We must repent. Next, it must be remission of our sin. How do I have my sins remitted? You have no part in this one. Remission of our sin. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no remission. You might say, I'm sorry. You might say this and that. But listen, if that Word of God, I hadn't opened that heart and let you understand that Christ bled and he died for you, and that precious blood that he didn't spill it, he shed it freely. It wasn't no accident. When you spill something, that's an accident. He shed this blood freely for lost mankind, for those who would be saved. And listen, that is where the remission of our sins comes in. You ever wondered what the word remission means? It means a canceling of a debt. Canceling of a debt. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. The wages, that's a debt you owed. Boy, it's an expensive wage. Nobody wants to have to pay this wage. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The remission of your sin was paid on that cross of Calvary. Now, the remission was done away with. The canceling of the debt was completely paid. I remember we had this thing called Through Every Door or something like that in Cleveland County. We went and listen, we would even go to church people's houses. And you would get asked to them church people, what must you do to be saved? And we had one man say, well, be a good person. Listen, this man was a leader inside the church. He said, be a good person. We had people say, well, you help the needy. And this was in Cleburne County. They was telling us this. And they said, well, you do this, you do that. According to this word of God, what men must be to be saved is come to repentance and come to this for remission of their sins. And God somehow, miraculously, saves that soul. And I don't understand how he does it. He takes something black, and in a twinkling of an eye, that thing becomes clean. Before him, remission. Our sin equals death. It's that simple. Sin, if you've sinned one little sin, if you've stolen something, you say, well, I never stole anything. Well, you probably have. You probably got an ink pen from work. You probably got something this. If not, you have said something evil towards somebody. The Bible says hate in heart, same as murder. If not, men, you have looked after a woman and lust after. We went over that in our Sunday school lesson. At some point in your life, I promise you, you have sinned. If you have sinned, if you have sinned any, guess what? It don't matter if you think it's big, little. If it's missing the mark of God, that thing is sin, and the payment for that is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Your debt has been paid. A sinner cannot be right with God until he's back in a right relationship with God. This is done through the remissions of their sins. Unless they have the gift, unless they've received this gift, there's no way. Next, the receiving. We begin receiving something. The Bible teaches us in this verse number 49, listen to what it says. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. What promise was it? You remember what he said? He said, I must go away, but I send you a comforter. I send you the Holy Spirit. And this is a one part of the Godhead that gets left out more than any other. Bless God, he gets left out of our churches. Most of them wouldn't know him if he come up and hit us on the head. The Spirit of God gets left out. This Holy Ghost, if you want to call it, or Holy Spirit, however you want to say his name. But you must listen. According to the Word of God, how you know you've been regenerated, how you know you've been saved, is because the Spirit of God dwells in you. The gift has been given. It's impossible for somebody to be saved and not have the Spirit of God indwelling in them. It's impossible. He says, I send. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. That promise. How blessed is it to know the Spirit of God dwells me. The Spirit of God indwells you. Almighty, true, holy God takes up residence in our hearts. And listen, he don't only go there to have a place to be. He's there to lead, to guide and direct. And he don't expect you to be a saint on your own. Sanctification takes a good while. I heard that on the radio this week. I began thinking on it. Salvation is a split of the morning experience, but sanctification takes some time. And listen, how this is done is through the Spirit of God teaching you and leading you and bringing you out of those failures and letting you know when you're falling short and letting you know what is wrong in your life. Oh, the Comforter, the promise of the Father has been given. The power we have to live this life, Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, listen to this. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts,
Crying Father, Abba Father. Why? You remember when the model prayer was given? Our Father which art in heaven? How's that start out? Our Father. How do you know that He's your Father? Because the Spirit of God has been given to your heart until that moment. Listen, I don't ever know a time. Now, I can remember a time when before I was saved, when things would get bad in my life, I would cry out to God. I didn't know how to do it, but I would try to cry out to God. And I'd say, God, you help me out of this situation. But never until I heard the Word of God, until I received the Word into my heart, my life was changed, did I ever call Him Father. Father. He says, because you are sons, He's given you the Spirit. Because you belong to Him, you've been given this. God lives in you. You are guided by the Spirit. And lastly, and we'll close, there must be a reporting. You say, well, God has saved me, and I'm just going to sit on it, and I ain't going to tell nobody. When the time is right, I'm going to tell somebody. I want you to listen to the Scripture. And I didn't put it up there for the guys. I forgot this one other thing. Romans 10:10. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You must tell people. You must tell. The mouth must speak. And listen, not more important than that, when you get a hold of this thing that you've been redeemed, you've been forgiven, your sins are gone, there shouldn't be a problem with you telling the world what's been done for you. I understand public speaking is the number one fear of all people. It's above spiders, it's above snakes, it's above airplanes, it's above everything. You go to Google, you put number one fear of people, boom, what's going to come up is public speaking. We don't like to do it. We'll take zeros on book reports. We'll do anything. And listen, y'all have heard me preach it many times. I didn't like public speaking. I never thought I'd be doing this. But God had a will for my life. But listen, you must understand something. That person's soul may depend on you speaking up. Confession. It means of your salvation. Confession is made into salvation. You must confess He's your Lord. But on top of that, listen what He says. Verse 48, He says, you are witnesses of these things. Seems like we preached about witness last week. You're to be witnesses of these things. Now, I preached about receiving, Him revealing Himself. I preached about repentance. I preached about remission of sin. I preached about a reporting. And listen, all of this. But here's the most important part. You are to be a witness. You cannot witness something you have not experienced. You can't tell somebody something you don't know anything about. If they had charged Terry with a crime and they called me and said, would you be a witness that Terry didn't do this and this? I'd have to say I saw it or I heard it or this or that. Some way I'd have to know that I knew that thing happened. But if I couldn't, guess what? No lawyer is going to want me to be a witness because I don't know what I'm talking about today. And today, I wonder that maybe it's the reason that we have a problem with telling people about this. Maybe we haven't witnessed it for ourselves. Maybe we haven't experienced it of our own. Because He says something. He says, you are witnesses of these things. Yes, He was talking to these that was with Him there. They're to be witnesses of what they just saw. Of this risen Savior who was eating fish and honeycombs. Listen now. There's a group out there that will try to teach you that Jesus didn't even really die on that cross. And then He wasn't really resurrected. All this was a fragment of these guys' imaginations. My friend, listen, it's pretty plain what they saw right here. If you study their lives from here on out, they gave everything they had for Jesus Christ. Many of them died martyrs' deaths. They lived lives that was full of heartache, that was full of pain. And if they hadn't knew what they seen, and if they hadn't been witnesses, they would not have did this. And me and you today, we may be living in a time where we see things get worse than we ever thought we could. And then the truth's going to come out. If you really know what you've seen, if you really believe what you believe, you are to be witnesses of these things. What things are you to be witnesses of? That Christ died, He rose from the dead, and that through Him is remission and repentance. That's what you're to be witnesses of. That's what you're to tell that you have saw. I don't know how possible it is to to know Jesus and not want to tell somebody? You remember when you got something for Christmas when you was a small child? Boy, for some reason, as a person, when you receive something, you want to brag about it. We just do. If the boss gives you a raise at work, now you come home and you want to tell your wife, I got a raise. If somebody's giving you a new car, you would tell, you'd go tell the world, you put it on the Facebook. Say, look here what I got a brand new car. If they give you a new home, you put it there. If they wiped your debt out, you put it on there. And listen, today if we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, we've been given the best thing in the earth. We've been completely made whole with a holy God, and we are witnesses of these things. Will you witness for Him? Will you tell somebody about Him? Now I know, again, like I said last week, this witnessing stuff is probably the hardest part for me. I have a hard time talking to new people. It's a struggle. That's why God gave me Stephanie. She can talk to a stop sign. Then when she begins talking, I take over and I pass her. Witnesses, you are be witness. A witness of these things. I don't know what this is for, who it was for, but I know that God's message don't return void. You say, well, most of us in here is in here every week, and we have some, maybe the ones that wasn't here today needed to hear this. Maybe this one that I've invited, maybe they the one that hear this. Listen, I believe that God knows the timing, and I believe His way is perfect. This morning, if you've heard this and it spoke to your heart, you must act. You must act upon it. He says, thus it is written, behold Christ, or the necessity of Christ to suffer, and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name. If everyone would please stand. Pat, if you come forth. Again, we don't know hearts. Don't know anybody's life. I'm glad it ain't up to me. To me, I've tried to preach this in the weakest, probably weak way, but the best way I know how. That you must have that knowledge given unto you of God. He has to open that mind, open that heart. He provides the repentance. He provides the remission. The repentance is there through Him, through that godly sorrow. And then we're to report it. We're to tell people. I could have kept going on with these R's. I thought, Lord, I got to shut this thing down sometime. The resurrection. You see, because He was resurrected, you too have been resurrected from the dead. You say, well, I ain't died yet. Well, spiritually, you come know Him, that old man's gone, the new man's alive, and it will never die. You've been resurrected. Today, if there's anybody on the sound of my voice, the Spirit of God has opened your heart. It's opened your mind to understanding that you don't know Him. You may know about Him, but you don't know Him. You may have made a confession before, and that keeps so many people, that pride does, I believe, from moving a lot of times. We think, what will they think? It doesn't really matter what they think. It's what God knows. Amen. This morning, if you need to do business with God, this is your time. Don't delay as she plays.